Well, good morning, everyone. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to please take them out and turn with me to the book of James, chapter 3. James, chapter 3, we're going to be reading from verses 13 to 18 for today. If you don't have a Bible, I encourage you to look on with your neighbor, or there should be a Bible in the pew in front of you. The book of James, chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. Please follow along as I read. James says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice." Verse 17. "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to the reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." This is the word of the Lord. Let us bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you once again to look into your word, as we come before you to worship you, not only in song, but also in the hearing of your word, Father, we ask that you continue to have your Holy Spirit work in our hearts. As we continue on in this sermon series on wisdom, Father, I ask that you would give us wisdom, give us understanding of your word so that we can know how we can be loyal and devoted to you. Father, take away anything that may be bothering us now. Help us to surrender any types of temptations, sins, or burdens or worries that we may have so we can fully worship you, so we can fully focus on you and receive the wisdom that you have for us today. Father, we thank you and we lift up these things in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen. So as many of you know, for the past 2 months, we have been in a sermon series through the book of James that is entitled Wisdom from Above. And again, this would be the 7th sermon in this series. James, the writer of this book, wanted to give wisdom and share wisdom that is from God concerning how we can be able to be loyal and devoted to God. And from the passage that we just read today, you can tell where I got the title of the sermon series from. You know, wisdom from above. We see that phrase here in this passage. But I want to ask you, have you ever considered how valuable wisdom actually is? You know, the value of wisdom. Now, in May of 2012, there was a 32-carat Burmese ruby and a diamond ring, which was sold at an auction. And this was part of a collection of Lily Safra, who was one of the richest women in the world. And the pre-estimation of this auction was supposed to be between like $3 million to $5 million. But do you know how much this ruby was actually sold for? It was actually sold for $6.7 million. Now, that's a lot. So, and this is believed to have been the most expensive ruby that was ever sold. But did you know that the Bible says that wisdom is more valuable than rubies? Wisdom is more valuable than rubies based on the benefits and based on the blessings that we can have from wisdom. Consider Proverbs chapter 8, verse 11. It says, "For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her." So wisdom, especially if it is from God, is more valuable than anything that we could ever desire in this world. But I want to ask you, like, what do you think would have happened if the person who bought this $6.7 million ruby later found out that this ruby was actually fake? I don't know, it would have been very devastating. Well, as far as I know, it is a real. But let's talk about something that is equally as valuable to rubies: trading cards. No, not really. But so some of you may have grown up like collecting Pokemon or Yu-Gi-Oh trading cards, but apparently last month it was reported that in Japan there was a woman who had bought a certain Yu-Gi-Oh card that was one of the prizes for the 2008 World Championships, like for the card game. And there's only 6 of these in print. So you can imagine the value of one trading card. So this woman bought this card in Japan for about 400,000 yen, which is equivalent to about like 3,500 US dollars. And then later she found out this card was actually a fake. So she contacted the authorities and they arrested this man who had sold this fake card to her. So wisdom is valuable, but how do you know that the wisdom that you have right now, whether it is true, whether it's really from God, or whether your wisdom that you have is actually fake, whether it is false? So how do we know that the wisdom that we have is true or false? This passage that we had just read today teaches that there are two types of wisdoms that we may have. There is wisdom from above and wisdom from below. Or in other words, you can say as wisdom from God or wisdom from the self. Or you can also say it as true wisdom and false wisdom. So for today in this passage, we're going to be answering one main question, and we're going to be asking, how can we identify true wisdom from false wisdom? So if you'd like to take notes, you can write this down. How can we identify true wisdom from false wisdom? And we'll see that there are three indicators that will help us identify true wisdom from false wisdom. But before we actually start getting into answering this question, I think we need to start by talking the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Would you start with me from chapter 3, verse 13? So James begins this passage by asking, "Who is wise and understanding among you?" So if you were asked that question, how would you answer it? You know, you probably think, oh, the wise and people who are understanding, you may think, you think of those people who are very smart, very knowledgeable, those who have like high degrees, PhDs, or you might think of just old people because, you know, old people, they have a lot of experience in this life and you see them as wise. But what does James say that wisdom is, or those people who are wise and have wisdom? So far in this sermon series through James, we see that James has shared with us wisdom from God, and he addressed wisdom in many different areas. Wisdom in terms of how to respond to trials, wisdom in terms of how to respond to temptations, wisdom about being a doer of God's word and obeying it, and wisdom concerning not showing favoritism or discrimination. And then last time, we talked about wisdom concerning taming our speech or taming our tongue. But did you know that merely knowing about these things doesn't make you wise? You know, simply hearing a sermon about these things, about these good works, doesn't make you wise. Or simply hearing them or reading them from Scripture doesn't make you wise either. You know, if anything, it is just knowledge that is in your head. So when does knowledge become wisdom? Knowledge becomes wisdom when you finally practice it, when you finally apply it, and you finally put it into action. So, and actually when James is talking about who is wise and understanding, you know, this Greek word for understanding can have the connotation of being experienced in applying knowledge as an expert. So maybe consider this to maybe help us understand this whole concept of turning knowledge into wisdom through practical application. So think about this. Knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit, but rather, wisdom is not putting tomatoes in a fruit salad. No, I think that makes sense. See, you have the knowledge that tomato is a fruit, but then in terms of application, your wisdom, you wouldn't actually put it in a fruit salad. Or let's take it more practical concerning the Bible here. Knowledge is knowing that God loves us and we are to love one another. But wisdom is the actual practical loving of other people and loving your friends and your families and your enemies, of course, in the appropriate ways. Or knowledge is knowing from Scripture that, you know, that God sometimes allows for evil to happen in the world to accomplish his purposes. But then wisdom is not telling that to a mother who is currently grieving over the loss of a baby or the loss of a family member, because that's not what she wants to hear right now. She wants to be loved and concerned. So concerning everything that we have talked about, knowledge we can get from scripture, but then you need to have the wisdom to be able to apply it and act on it in the right way. So in all these scenarios, knowledge doesn't become wisdom until you apply it in action correctly. So this is why if we continue reading verse 13, James says, who is wise and understanding among you? And then he answers it, by his good conduct, let him show his works. By his good conduct, let him show his works. So those who have wisdom are those who apply and practice the knowledge of Scripture. So now we know when knowledge becomes wisdom. But again, as I mentioned, just because you have wisdom actually doesn't mean that you have the right kind of wisdom. Again, we see from this practice that there's two types of wisdoms: wisdom from above and wisdom from below. Wisdom that is true and wisdom that is false. So let's continue and answer a question. How can we identify true wisdom from false wisdom? So let's first answer this question by talking about true wisdom. So let's answer a question. How can we identify true wisdom from false wisdom? Here is the first indicator, the first point. Number one, wisdom from above, or in other words, true wisdom, is acting in reverence of a holy God. Say it again. Wisdom from above, or in other words, true wisdom, is acting in reverence of a holy God. So we see that as we continue on in this passage. Starting reading from verse 13 again. James says, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works. But how? James says, in the meekness of wisdom. Let him show his conduct and his good works in the meekness of wisdom. So if you have true wisdom from God, if you have wisdom from above, then you should have meekness. You should have a level of humility. You wouldn't have pride inside of you. You wouldn't have to think that you have it all together. But why? Why do you need meekness? Why do you need humility to have this true wisdom from above? Well, I think first, you need humility to even first receive God's word. Remember, back in James chapter 1, verse 21, now James says, therefore put away all filthiness, all rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness, or humility, the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So James 1:21 says we need to be humble in order to receive God's word, or even to hear the knowledge from Scripture. But again, humility isn't just all that. It isn't just for receiving God's word. But rather, humility is also involved as we need to have a healthy understanding about our unworthiness before God. See, again, we can't think that we are all so great, that we have pride and we have everything together, we don't need God, and we don't need help at all. But we are just humans who are mere sinful, we're finite, and we're unworthy compared to God. You know, God who is infinite in all possibilities. God, he's all-powerful. God is all-knowing. God is all-loving. He's holy and he's without sin. Imagine this big and powerful God and compare it to us as a mere finite human being. We need to have a level of humility and meekness. We need to fear God. What does it mean to fear God? No, fearing God doesn't mean, like that type of fear and you're running away from God. I know it was just Halloween just a couple of days ago. So it's not being scared of God or running away from God, but rather to fear God means that you have a revere or that you respect this God who is holy, who is infinite and great in all greatness compared to us. Again, to fear God means to revere and see him as holy. And in order to do so, we need meekness. We need humility. Imagine that there was a knight who appeared in a court before a king. Now, this king, he's powerful. He has the power to be able to demote this knight, to be able to banish this knight. But he also has this power to love the knight, to bless the knight, to promote him to a higher position, to reward this knight. So Who is this knight in comparison to a great king like that? You know, this knight needs to know his place. This knight needs to show his loyalty while serving and fighting on behalf of the king. So likewise, I share this illustration to show about what does it mean for us to fear God. All of us as Christians, we fear God. We need humility. We need meekness as we are serving him. This is what it means to fear God. But how does the fear of God relate to knowledge? How does it relate to wisdom? Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Also, Psalm chapter 111, verse 10. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever." So again, let's answer our question. How can we identify true wisdom from false wisdom? Here's the first point. Wisdom from above, or true wisdom, is acting in reverence or in fear of a holy God. So what does this mean? So as you apply the knowledge of God's word, the knowledge of scripture, to do good works, you have to do so while fearing God and revering his holiness. So let me give you a couple of examples to help us see and understand what does that look like. You know, earlier, James had talked about wisdom concerning not showing favoritism or discrimination towards the poor or those of other races. But let's say that you are applying this truth. There's someone who comes into the church who is maybe not Chinese, or maybe there's someone from a lower income, but you welcome them, you reach out to them. But you do so because you fear a holy and loving God. Because after all, God is the one who has loved you, who has cared for you. You share that with other people as well. Or same thing when it comes to worshiping God in song and singing. Do you praise God verbally and singing about who God is and what he has done and making that true in your heart rather than just singing very empty words? You know, because God knows your heart. God knows whether you're truly singing and worshiping and praising him. And God knows when you're just singing the words and it's just meaningless. You know, if we have the notion that in all of our good works, we are fearing and revering God, and we are loyal to him, we would have this level of meekness. We would have this level of humility. Or take, for example, let's say that you're helping out doing cleanup in the church or even doing community service. Do you do all these things because you fear God and you love him? Or are you doing it for other purposes? So again, if we apply the knowledge of God's word or his scripture to do good works without acting in reverence of God, then what we have is not wisdom from above. Rather, we have something that's just called wisdom from below, or just false wisdom. So let's go to our second point here. So again, we're answering the question, how can we identify true wisdom from false wisdom? So let me give you the second point, talking about false wisdom. Wisdom from below, or false wisdom, is acting in reverence of yourself. Okay, so second point, wisdom from below, or in other words, false wisdom, is acting in reverence of yourself. So we see this as we continue on in verse 14. James goes on, he says, "But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth." So James gives two characteristics for those who have wisdom from below, or false wisdom. First, someone who has false wisdom is those who have bitter jealousy. So you look around and you see other people who are doing all these good works and you're jealous of them. You see that they seem to be getting credit, they seem to be getting power and getting praise, and they're reaping about some benefits. So when you serve, you also are jealous and you do all these good works for the purpose of, oh, gaining some sort of possession, gaining some sort of opportunity over other people. And selfish ambition is also tied in with it, because you may be doing these good works to try to please yourself or to please other people. You may be like, oh, by doing this, I feel good about myself. By doing this, I can be able to feel better. You see, this is not wisdom from above. This is wisdom from below. So let's give me some examples about this. Let's go back to the example about taking care of the poor, not showing favoritism or discrimination. You might help out people who are poor, but you may be doing so, oh, hey, look at me, I'm a good person. Look at me hand over money to help out this poor person. And look at me give offering to people. If, yes, it's good that you are serving God and you are giving money and you're helping others, but if you're doing so merely to praise and revere yourself, then that is not wisdom from above. That is wisdom from below. Or going back to worship and song. So I already mentioned about, you know, sometimes when you're singing, sometimes we just sing words meaninglessly. But for people who play instruments, maybe you're on praise team, maybe you're playing the guitar, playing piano, whatever, and you're like, hey, everyone, look at me. Rather than points to God, you're saying, look at how great I am in playing my instrument. Look at how great of a singing voice that I have. And actually, I must confess, like, you know, when I was in, like, middle school, high school, like, sitting there in the service, like, even in the congregations, I like to sing, and you may have noticed that I like to sing, like, you've a harmony. So sometimes, like, when I was in the pews, I would sing extra loud and make sure other people next to me hear the harmonies that I sing and be like, hey, I'm a good singer. No, this is what I actually did, and again, I'm ashamed to share something like this, but yes, I'm singing to God, but it's not wisdom from above because I'm revering myself rather than revering God. Or again, same thing with doing community service or helping up cleaning up in the church. Do you do it just for community service hours, or do you do it to try to show off to other people? Let me confess another sin. When I was in a youth group growing up in church, you know, one of the things that we had to do is, you know, set up chairs, like folding chairs, and putting away in between events. And you know, sometimes I'll be like, oh, let me try to grab as many folding chairs as possible, just show people, look how strong I am. Look how, and maybe I was trying to impress the girls or something like that. But anyways, doing something like this, I'm doing it for my own gain, my own benefit. I'm doing it out of jealousy. I'm doing it out of selfish ambition. I have no meekness. I have no humility. This is not wisdom from above. It is wisdom from below. Again, all these scenarios, we see that there is the application of Scripture. There's the application of God's word in practical action. But so there is wisdom. But again, this wisdom may not necessarily be from above. Because if you're doing so to revere yourself, to praise yourself, rather than to revere God. James goes on and he gives more characteristics of what does it mean to have wisdom from below. Look at verse 15. James says, this is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but it is earthly. It is unspiritual and demonic. So what do these characteristics mean? So earthly means like you're limiting the scope to earth rather than limiting to what God can be able to do. You don't even have God in your mind as you are going out and doing all these good works. Wisdom from below is also unspiritual. That means it lacks the Holy Spirit. No, God has given us the Holy Spirit in our hearts, especially if we're Christians, to be able to guide us, to lead us to worship God, to lead us to do what is right. But if we have the Holy Spirit, but we're not listening to it, and rather we're doing all these things for ourselves, then we're not adhering to what the Holy Spirit has to say. And then also, like James says, that wisdom from below is demonic, meaning that it is from Satan. And of course, Satan doesn't want you to revere God and to praise God and to fear him. Satan wants you to serve the idol of yourself. So let me give you a couple more statements that compares wisdom from above and wisdom from below. True wisdom from false wisdom. So consider this. Wisdom from above is serving God, while wisdom from below is serving yourself. Or wisdom from above is worshiping God, whereas wisdom from below is worshiping yourself. Or wisdom from above is obeying God, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, whereas wisdom from below is obeying the guidance of your own desires and your own lusts, or even you can say obeying Satan. Again, whenever you are applying God's word, applying the knowledge from Scripture, and you're doing these good works and you have good conduct, think about what is the wisdom that you have. Is that wisdom from above, from God, or is it from below? Is it fault wisdom? Finally, I believe in this passage, we can see one more indicator for how we can identify true wisdom from false wisdom. So I'll give you this indicator right away. So point number three, wisdom from above or below can be identified by their resulting works. Okay, I'll say it again. Wisdom from above or below can be identified by their resulting fruits. Let's say that you have a garden at home, okay? You like to plant all different types of fruits and vegetables. So at the beginning of the season, I know it's winter time, you probably won't be doing this now, but if you were to start a garden, you would start by taking seeds of different kinds and you're planting it into the soil, and you would water it. You make sure that there's a good fertilizer, and you put every different type of vegetables and every different type of plants, each in its own role. And to help you not to get confused or mixed up the plants, you would have the sign or a little label in front of each row so you know which plant is which. But let's say then the next day you wake up and all of a sudden all of your signs, all of your labels are completely gone. You don't know what happened. Let's say that, the winds just blew them all away. Or maybe your neighbor is trying to troll you and just like decide to steal all your signs. But regardless of what happened, what is the situation right now is that you don't know what plant is what. You don't know which vegetable is which. And there's no way to figure it out until you wait until these plants actually grow and sprout and bloom with the fruits. So then, only then, by seeing the fruits, then you truly know what type of plant is this, what type of plant is that, and where it is in the garden. See, this is the same thing when it comes to wisdom, when it comes to identifying wisdom. So how do we know whether wisdom is from above or below, whether it's from God or from the self, whether it is true or whether it is false? We can tell based on the fruits of the results. So we see evidence of these fruits from this passage here. So let's start by talking about what are the fruits from wisdom from below. Look at verse 16. James says, "For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice." So if you are practicing these good works and you have wisdom from below, yes, you have bitter jealousy and you have self-ambition, but it says that it will result, the fruit is all types of disorder and every vile practice. And I think that makes sense. Because if you have wisdom from below and you're not fearing God, you're not revering God, then it isn't just affecting the actions that people outwardly see. It also affects the actions in your heart. So when you're not revering and respecting God, then it leads you down to a road where you are committing other types of sins. You are turning away from God. So I think this makes sense. If you have wisdom from below, you're not revering God, and it would result in all these different vile practices. Even though on the surface, on the outward, it seems like other people think, oh, you're such a good person, and you're doing this, and you're doing that. So this is one indicator of the fruits of wisdom from below, whether you are participating in other types of vile sins. But on the other hand, what are the fruits that result when you have wisdom from above, or wisdom from God? We see these fruits in verse 17 and 18. James says, "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." So let's quickly go through each of these characteristics. No, one of the characteristics is, or one of the fruits is being pure, or in other words, you're morally pure. Then it talks about being peaceable. You're not combative. You try to make peace with one another. Then it says gentle. You're considerate of other people. You're open to reason, meaning you're willing to submit to authority, whether authorities and leaderships in the church, other people, or even authority to God. It is full of mercy. So if you have wisdom, it should produce mercy in you. It should be full of good fruits. Shouldn't be impartial, meaning that you're non-judgmental. You have certainty. You're not doubting about what you are doing. And of course, there is sincerity. You're not hypocritical. You're not double-minded. But then, like, verse 18 talks about this picture of a harvest. Remember, so this ties back in with the illustration that I had begun with. You know, you reap what you sow. So if you sow seeds of peace, then it says in verse 18 that you will reap righteousness. And verse 18 says, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So righteousness, being pure and holy and growing in your relationship with God. So this really shows that wisdom from above is necessary also in your spiritual maturity, in your spiritual growth. So again, an application for all of us, as you are applying God's word, as you are serving in church, as you are doing good works and showing good works to other people in the world, have a time to reflect upon yourself. Are you revering God? Do you have wisdom from above, or are you serving yourself, which is wisdom from below? And you can also identify it by looking at what fruits are the outcome. If you truly have wisdom from above, then you should be growing in righteousness. You should be growing closer in your relationship with God. So let us review everything that we've learned from this passage here in James chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. Again, we answered the question of how can we identify true wisdom from false wisdom? And we said that there are three indicators. So let's go through them again. Number one, wisdom from above, or true wisdom, is acting in reverence of God. Number two, wisdom from below, or false wisdom, is acting in reverence of yourself. And finally, as we said, number three, wisdom from above or below can be identified by their resulting fruits. Again, God gave us wisdom so that we can be devoted and be loyal to Him in our conduct. Wisdom is very valuable. But you have to remember, if you lack wisdom, you should ask God. Remember back in James chapter 1, verse 5, James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. So if you want wisdom from God, wisdom from above, to fear him, to have meekness and humility, ask God. And James also says that wisdom from above is also a good gift. James chapter 1, verse 17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. So we can see wisdom as a good gift from God. So in this sermon series, again, James had given us wisdom to how to respond to our trials, respond to temptations, respond by being a doer of God's word, respond by not showing favoritism or discrimination, respond by taming our tongue and in our speech. But as we participate in these good works, and actually even more, any type of good works, let us do so with wisdom from above, while fearing and revering God, while being loyal and devoted to Him, rather than doing it to serve ourselves. This is what it means to have wisdom from above. So next week, as we continue on in this sermon series, we can remember this concept and see how it applies to the other good works and wisdom that James may provide for us. Let us bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Father, we thank you that you have spoken. You have taught us from your word. And Lord, maybe some of us, we may be here today, and probably we're not thinking about much of these things. We know about wisdom, and we think of worldly wisdom from scientists, from philosophers, maybe even from ourselves. But Lord, help us to see that wisdom from above, wisdom from you, is valuable. Wisdom should be more valuable than anything that we can desire in this world. And if we have this mindset, Lord, then we should be seeking it. We should be doing everything in humility, in meekness, doing everything while revering and fearing you, because we know that you are this almighty, powerful God who created us. I mean, you could even end our life just like that if you wanted to, but yet at the same time, we know that you are a great and loving and merciful God. How are we, such sinful and finite human beings, are to compare to you? How are we to be before you in your presence? But Lord, we thank you that you've sent Jesus Christ to die on a cross for our sins, so that with our faith in him, we are seen as pure and holy and righteous, and we can come before you with confidence before your throne to worship you, to praise you, and to learn about you. Lord, help us to remember to have this healthy fear of you in everything that we do. This is the key to having wisdom from above. Father, may we fix our eyes on you. May you be our true source of vision. Father, we lift up all these things in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen.